He wants to change us, and only God's strength can do that. Only God has the strength to save us from the grip of sin and the punishment of hell. Through the strength of Christ, God delivers the sinner to salvation.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Strength Through Christ and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to be talking about strength through Christ. The key verse is going to be Philippians 4:13, and I am reading out of the New King James Version today. And please rise for the reading of God's holy word. Philippians 4:13 reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, first of all, in order to get this promise, we have to realize that what we're doing is that we're doing it through Christ. If we're doing something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, we're going to be doing it out of our own strength. So then we can't do all things, right? But we can do all things through Christ. And we can do those things because when we're doing them through Christ, He strengthens us to do it. Do we understand the concept? Because sometimes people come to me and they say, Pastor, I know I can do all things through Christ, but there's this one particular thing that I can't seem to get done. And when they usually tell me about that one particular thing, I find out that it's not even a biblical thing that they should be doing. So we have to make sure that we line ourselves up with the Word of God and that what we are doing is something that God has asked us to do. And if it's something that is biblical, something that lines up with the will of God for our lives, guess what? We're going to get that strength. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I first started to come into the ministry, I had a lot of doubts about what I could do. But my pastor at the time told me that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? And that's exactly what God did. He strengthened me to be able to do the things that He's called me to do. So as Christians, we should never live as defeated people. We should understand that as long as we're in the will of God, we've already got the strength of God. Did somebody hear what I said? If we are in the will of God, we've already got His strength. If God told you to do it, you're going to be able to do it. But you're going to be able to do it through Him. And that's where submission comes from. That's why we have to read our Bibles, so that we can hear God when He's talking to us. Praise God. Listen to this. Every believer in Christ is able to tap into the unlimited strength of God when doing His will. Unlimited. See, you cannot look at yourself and say, well, I'm not smart enough, God. I'm not clever enough. I'm not good looking enough. Well, some of you are, I know. Amen. But you can't look at God and say, Lord, look at my limits. I can't do what you're asking me to do. Because He's not asking you to do it. He's asking you to allow Christ to do it through you. Amen. That's why we have to be submissive. That's why we have to say, not my will, but your will. So it's an unlimited strength of God when doing His will. That's the thing. We got to make sure that we're lined up, and then we can tap into that resource that's unlimited. Amen. Now listen, this is not achieved by our own willpower. This isn't something you can say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make this happen and I know I can achieve. No, because that puts it back on you again. This is something that you got to say, you know, God, I don't have all the answers. And I don't know all the directions I'm supposed to take in this situation, but I know that you do. And so I'm going to submit myself to you, oh God, and let you take over. There's a song called Jesus Take the Wheel. So we have to let God take the wheel of our lives and steer us in the directions that he wants us to go. Because I'm just speaking for myself. I know that when I take the steering wheel of my life, I run into obstacles and I get into trouble. So if I let God do the steering, things turn out a little bit better and I get to better places than I would have taken myself. But rather, by having an attitude of faith. Now listen, this is not achieved by our own willpower, but rather by having an attitude of faith and a desire to do God's will. First of all, you got to have an attitude, right? Your attitude is, look, life is not everything I want it to be right now. But I know that I had a lot to do with how I got to this position in life. It wasn't everybody else's fault. I had choices. I made the wrong ones. And yes, people do things to you that can cause circumstances in your life. I understand that. So we have to have an attitude of faith, knowing that even though what I see in front of me right now doesn't mean that that's what God has waiting for me over there. Just because I see a wall here doesn't mean that God can't get me around it or through it or over it or under it, however he wants to take me. But sometimes we get our own attitude saying, well, if I can't see the way, then there is no way. Because I just can't see how this obstacle is going to move out of my way. My life is too messed up for God to clean it. No, that's the wrong attitude. See, that's putting it back on you. That's looking at self and saying, I can't. Well, listen, you can't. You're right. You are right about that. But listen, you don't have to. That's the part you might be missing today. And that's the part I want to teach you. The attitude of faith is, listen, I can't, but God can. How many of you know that God can do anything? When the time comes and the trouble starts, we all know God can. But our real faith is when we know God will. Listen to the difference. Listen to the difference. We all know God can. But sometimes when we're in pain, when we're in trouble, when we're afraid, we don't know if God will. And Jesus says, I am willing. Remember the unclean man that said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I am willing. God has a plan for all of our lives, and he is willing to take you through to the other side if you would just give your will over to him. Amen. So this is the attitude of faith that we must have, and that we have to have a desire to do God's will, to do God's will. Now, I know a lot of you say, well, I just wish I just knew what God was telling me to do, and then I would do it. But what we're missing is that the first thing that God's will is that he wants you to fellowship with other believers. So you got to get into the elementaries of things, right, before you can go to college. Amen. You don't just start college out of kindergarten, do you? You go through the grades. So God says, listen, first you need to learn the concept of fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters. And then when you fellowship with them, you're going to learn the concept of loving one another, caring for one another. Because if you don't love your brothers and sisters who you do see, how are you going to love the one you don't see? You see what I mean? So then you get that principle down. And then when you come in the church fellowshipping, because that's where you meet most believers, you don't meet a lot of believers at work, unless you work at a Christian bookstore, maybe. But you get that concept down. You start reading your Bible. You start hearing the word of God coming to church, because what? Faith comes by hearing, right? This builds your faith. And as you learn the principles, you start to build a foundation in your life that is strengthening you through Christ. Because you got to have a foundation before you could put a building on top of it. But some people, they come to church once or twice every month and they say, well, I just don't see a change in my life. I just don't understand. And they're looking at their circumstances and God says, no, listen, I'm trying to make a change in you. If I can make a change in you, your life is going to change. Because listen, the problem with your life is the way it's arranged in the relationship to me. So I'm trying to build you a foundation first. Come to church, listen to the word of God, fellowship with the believers. Amen. Get that foundation going. Then God can build upon it. Because listen, you're only as strong as your foundation, right? If you have a weak foundation and God starts building and blessing you, it's going to topple over. I've seen people bless too quickly and they lose it because there was no foundation, no foundation of faith. If God doesn't take you through the hard times and build your strength in the low levels, how are you going to withstand the high winds as your building gets taller? Because you know, as you build something taller, the winds are higher up there, right? You know what they say, the higher you go, the farther the drop, right? So you got to stand strong when he builds you up, when he builds you into that high tower. Amen? So our foundation is what we need to build the strength of Christ. So a couple of points here. We need to get out of the way. Number one, we need to get out of the way. Look at your neighbor and say, I need to get out of the way. I need to get out of the way. I used to ask God, what's taking you so long? And he would answer in my heart, you. Get out of the way, James. Many times we trust our own strength over God's. You look at your bank account and you don't see enough money in there to solve a problem and you give up. Then you start calling on the phone. Oh, I can't believe this is happening to me again. I give all my tithes to the church and I pray and I read my Bible and just, I got no money and I need my car fixed. And suddenly, when you get off the phone, someone trying to get through while you were talking finally gets through and says, I want to bless you. Things like that can happen. I get testimonies like that all the time coming, and things like that have happened to me. So many times we trust our own strength over God's. We look at our own abilities and we don't put the faith in the one who said he would get us through. Amen? So we got to back off from that and say, listen, I know I can't, but I know he will because he told me he would. Many who are attractive, we got a lot of those in here, don't we? Not me, you all. Many who are attractive, wealthy, smart, and physically fit, put their faith in themselves rather in God, who is the giver of all our gifts and talents. Many times it's easy to look in the mirror and say, well, pretty nice looking guy. Or I'm pretty strong. I can make things happen. Or I got a fat wallet. I can pay for my problems to be fixed. And that's not the right attitude of faith. We don't put our faith in the things that we can see, right? But we put our things in the things that we cannot see. That builds our faith in God, knowing that our hope is in the right place. God wants us to use the gifts and talents he has blessed us with, but with thanksgiving and with submission to his will. Somebody said, I don't understand why I never get any money, even though I work so many different jobs and I work so hard. And God told me to tell them, because you're stingy. I didn't want to tell them that, but he made me do it. And I asked them, I said, are you stingy? And God said, no, I told you to tell them they were stingy. And I said, let me rephrase that. God says you're stingy. And they were convicted by the Holy Spirit and they conceded. They said, yes, I'm very stingy, but it's only because I don't have anything. And I was like, listen, if you want to grow something in a garden, you can't be stingy with the seeds. You got to start planting some things. If you want more talents from God, you got to start sharing your talent with the house of God. If you want more blessings, you got to start sharing your blessings. Because I told you this, guys, last week, whatever it is you want from God, you have to share it with the people of God to get more of it. Because why would God give something to someone who's going to keep it all to themselves? I'm going to delegate up here in the church authority to those who are going to use it wisely in the church. What kind of a pastor would I be if I just picked a lazy, no good doer to serve you people under my authority? You would look at me and say, he's a poor leader. So when we have talents and we have gifts and we're not showing thanksgiving by showing something back to the by giving back to the Lord, God is saying, well, you're being stingy with what I've given you. So then you will find that your strength through Christ is faltering because you're out of alignment. You're not giving thanksgiving. You're not submitting to God's will. Again, we're talking about the strength through Christ. We're talking about the building blocks that are going to make us strong Christians. Our own strength can fail when we use it without seeking God's will. You can pray about something and God could tell you, okay, this is what I want you to do. But then you walk away without the instructions on how to do it. And you say, oh, I got this. Let me do this. You can't do that. You got to stay in the will of God through the whole thing. Amen? We must be sure that what we are undertaking is the will of God. We can't just have an idea pop in our head or somebody come up off the street and say, this is what you need to do. I have suggestions come around me all the time of what I should do for the church. But I can't take every suggestion. I love you and I thank you for those suggestions, but I can't take every one of them because when I pray about it, God doesn't always confirm it. Amen? If it is God's will, you can do it through his strength, but you must be submissive in faith to him. You got to believe. Does that make it easy? No. If God made it too easy, you wouldn't be talking to him. You wouldn't be praying with him. Sometimes God's got to lay some stuff on you so you start talking to him again. You know what I mean? Because you know when the trouble comes, people start praying, right? Unfortunately, that's the truth. So sometimes God got to say, well, I got to make it a little tough on you. That way you'll keep talking to me because I miss you. Number two, God's strength is unlimited. Look at your neighbor and say, God's strength is unlimited. Because there are some Christians that believe that there are some things that God can't do. Deep down inside, oh, I just don't know how he's going to do this. Or he's going to help me halfway through it, but then his power is going to run out. He's going to get tired of me. His patience is going to run out with me. Don't you know that God said, I'll never leave nor forsake you? He's not going to give up on you. When you start talking like that and thinking like that, it's you that's giving up on you. Not God. God don't give up on his children. God is not subject to the shortcomings that humans exhibit. We might get tired. We might have to sleep. But while you're sleeping, that's when God's doing some of his best work. Because that means you're out of the way. You're not messing things up while you're sleeping, are you? God's like, finally, they went to bed. Now I can do something for them. Now their hand's out of the cookie jar. Amen. See, the ones laughing know what I'm talking about. Because you know you're the ones that pray, oh, save me, God. And then you're in there messing things up. Oh, I'll put it back, God. I'll put it back. You come back and everything's upside down, backwards, messed up, scrambled around. And then you call your friends blaming everybody else. But you know you're the ones laughing that you do that, right? But don't we all? We are only human and subject to the laws of nature, but God has an unlimited amount of strength, unlimited amount of patience, unlimited amount of love, unlimited amount of compassion. Don't you need compassion today? Don't you need that? Don't you need God to look down and say, I want to help you? Just have some faith in me. Have some faith. I'll get you through this. Just believe. Stop trying to do it your way. Amen. God often calls us to do things in which we must pray for his strength in order to achieve them. Now, I just kind of went through that, didn't I? The strength of God is inside of every Christian. We need only to ask him for it in faith. So listen, it's good to pray in numbers, right? But a lot of times people call me up and they say, you got to pray for so-and-so. Well, why can't you pray for them? You got the same Jesus in you that I got in me. Why is it always me that's got to pray? Not that I don't mind praying, don't get me wrong. But we have to learn to pray for ourselves too, don't we? The pastor don't have a monopoly on Jesus. So every believer can tap into this. Every believer's got this. It doesn't just work for me. It works for all of us that believe in Christ. God's strength is enduring and everlasting. Our own can only last for so long, then we must rest. Have you ever felt like you're just like really tuckered out trying to get something done and you just can't do it no more and you just feel like giving up? Paul said, when I am weak, That's when I'm strong. The Apostle Paul said that. See, sometimes God will allow you to run yourself ragged, to wear yourself out, so that you will rest and submit to him. Because I know that everybody in here at one time or another that's old enough, you've been into something or something has happened to you. And you tried everything you could to get out of it yourself until you ran yourself tired and you couldn't handle it no more. And finally, you sat down and you said, I can't do it, God. Just help me. And that's all it took, was just asking him and believing. And then God said, well, thank you for finally asking me. Now go rest. And before you know it, it worked itself out, didn't it? Because you're here today, aren't you? You're here today. Maybe you prayed for a church and you didn't know how you were going to find one, but you're here today. Amen. And third, our own strengths can be our weaknesses. Look at your neighbor and say, my strength can be my weakness. Satan often uses our own strength against us. Satan can use your strength against you. How, Pastor? He can make you depend on yourself. Don't pray. You got the answer. Why are you praying? You're smart. You can ask God for the hard stuff. You know how to do this. Just do it. You don't need to pray. What are you reading your Bible for? You're never going to use this. You're a smart man. You're a smart woman. You're just so smart. Man, I tell you what, you attend church all the time. That's a strength, the devil says. So you don't need to read your word. The pastor's filling you up with enough. That's a lie. That's a lie. But he will try those things. But Satan will tempt you to use your strength in an ungodly way. And if you don't believe me, then at least believe Jesus. Matthew 4:3 says, now when the tempter came to him, Satan is the tempter, and him is Jesus. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now what's wrong with that? Jesus was fasting, and he was tempting Jesus to use his power selfishly. If you read the Gospels, Jesus never used his power from God to bless himself. He never did that. We're supposed to come to God in the same submission as Jesus did. We're supposed to say, God, not what can you do for me, but what can I do for you? But Satan was trying to say, look, if you got all this power, then use it to make bread out of rock. Selfishly use your power and break your fast. Break your fast. Use it in an ungodly way. But Jesus replied that, you know what? Man does not live by bread alone. He used the word of God against him. Amen. Our own strengths can keep us from coming to God in prayer. Our own strengths can keep us from coming to God in prayer. When you think that life is good, your car is running great, your job is doing fantastic, you got every friend you ever wanted, your bank account's fat, why do you need to come to God? What do you need? You're strong enough. You don't need God, right? Amen? The devil will tell you that too. You got it going on. You're happy. Life is good. Just keep living it like you are. You don't need to go to church. Look, when things go bad, that's when you get into church. I tell you what, if you don't come to church, you don't read your Bible, and you don't talk to God, things will go bad. Quick. And when I say quick, what I mean is without a warning. You might get along for some years. But without these things that I mentioned, you don't have the strength of Christ holding up what you're building. So if you're not building it through the strength of Christ, when the wind comes, it's going to blow your house down. Somebody listening to me today, this is serious stuff. If you're not doing it God's way and you're building your house on your strength will not hold the winds back. The winds will blow your house down. Our strength seeks to please self. You know what I'm talking about. You get a bonus check at work, and it's unexpected. and you think about all the things you could buy. Raise your hand if you're like that. You got unexpected money and you got a big list of what you're going to buy with it. You don't. The first thing that pops in your head is not, I'm going to go bless the church, is it? That you don't think that with your extra money. You think, I'm going to go out and have some fun. Man, I got an extra $200 from work today. I can put God on hold. Things are going good. But God's strength seeks to achieve his will. See, when God gives you his strength, he wants you to do something that's going to bless his kingdom. Now, when you use that strength for that purpose, you get a blessing. You're not left out of it. I don't always know what that blessing will be. I don't want to say it's going to be a materialistic blessing. I pray that it's going to be a spiritual blessing to embolden you to go forth and to continue with his will. But these are the things that we use, the strength that God gives us through Christ. Amen? Talking about strength through Christ. Philippians 4:13. God's strength saves us. Only God has the strength to save us from the grip of sin and the punishment of hell. I know a lot of preacher men on the radio and TV don't talk about hell anymore, but listen, you know as well as I do. If someone's acting up in your life, you don't want them around, do you? You don't want people acting up around you, do you? That coworker that doesn't do their job, that lays it on you to do all the time, you don't want them around, do you? That person who's stealing out of your yard that lives in your neighborhood because you leave your barbecue out overnight or whatever it may be, you don't want those people around, do you? God doesn't want people like that in his kingdom to come, sinners. But he wants to save us. He wants to change us. And only God's strength can do that. Only God has the strength to save us from the grip of sin and the punishment of hell. Through the strength of Christ, God delivers the sinner to salvation. It took strength to do what Jesus did. It took strength. We didn't have to do it, did we? That's called grace, isn't it? I could not have done what Jesus did. It took strength to sit on that cross, even though he had the power to call upon his Father to save him. And to suffer the beating that he suffered prior to the crucifixion. It took strength for God to give his only begotten Son, right? So that we may not perish, but have everlasting life. It took strength of God to do that. I couldn't give up what God gave up for anyone, even myself. But God gave up everything for us. Through the strength of Christ, believers can say no to temptation and yes to God. Now, here's the key. If you're standing in your word, right? If you're in this book and you're in your church and you're praying and you got fellow believers around you and you're praying with them, you have the Holy Spirit in full force helping you to say no to temptations. You hang around the wrong people outside of this church and you're going to get into the wrong kinds of things because you're not going to have the strength of Christ in them to support you. I was ministering to someone who's an addict. You name it, she's done it. And she told me, I got to stay away from people who are ex-drug addicts and especially the ones who are current drug addicts because I got to stay strong, and I can't stay strong around weak people. So look at your neighbor and say, I can't be around weak people. I want to be around strong Christians. Amen. So through the strength of Christ, believers can say no to temptation and yes to God. Yes to God. God will give you the strength. And I'm about done here. Through the strength of Christ, through the strength of Christ, ministries are born and churches are built. Now, I know you can take a lot of money and you can open up a building and you can pay for a lot of advertisement and a big band and a lot of flashy stuff and get a bunch of people into a church. But a real ministry, a real church is built on the strength of God. and it's done through the Spirit of God. Amen. So in conclusion, I want to say this. Our own strength is limited. God has unlimited strength. And second, our own strength is subject to the laws of nature. Right? There's some things we can't do because nature holds us back. But God's strength is supernatural. There are no limitations put on God's power. When you don't see a way, God says, I've already got the way. It's called my son, Jesus Christ. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Put it on him. Have faith that he's going to get you through. He may not always take it away, but he's always going to go through it with you. Amen. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. If God asked you to do it, then he will strengthen you to achieve it. If God asked you to do it, obey. Listen to what he's saying. He will take you on such an adventure that by the time you get halfway through it, you'll wonder how you ever got along without him. If anybody in here today is listening to what I'm saying, then I would ask that you would come forth. If you haven't already accepted Jesus, come up here and accept him. Listen what the Word of God says about this. Jesus says in Matthew 10:33, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You ain't my friend if you're denying me to everybody around you. My friends don't deny me. If you feel God tugging on your heart right now and you've never come to Christ, maybe you should come up here today and we'll lay our hands on you. We will pray for you. We will pray with you. And the strength of Christ will be yours. You haven't accepted Jesus. There's a prayer for you. Say this. Mean it in your heart. Listen. Ask Jesus to save you. You could say something like this. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. And I turn away from them right now. That's called repentance. I messed up last week, God. I messed up this morning. I mess up all the time. But you know what, God? I want to turn away from that, right? That's what you're saying. I ask you to forgive me. Ask him. And then say, I accept Jesus Christ as the payment to you for my sins. You can't pay for your sins. I can't pay for mine. They're too great. They're too many. I've messed up too many times, but Jesus can pay it. And he's ready. But listen, this next part you have to say, I believe he died for me and helped me to live a Christian life. Amen. That last part, you got to ask for help. You got to ask for the strength of Christ that lets you do all things. Help me live this Christian life, God. Amen. There's no shame in that. Asking for help when you know you can't do it. Amen.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.